for this church. But the words I just want to share is that you belong with us. So asking you to do anything or perform anything to be accepted, that you're accepted and loved just as you are. And I'm grateful that you're here and that you're a part of this community, full stop. And that said, every local church has its way to organize, right? Its way to function. And this church is no different in that sense. And so part of our congregational organization, you would say, or polity, is that we are officially a part of the United Methodist Church, which is a denomination that's worldwide with millions of members across the world. And here in Prague, this international church is officially connected to the Czech Methodist Church. And we have several United Methodist churches across this country, all of them Czech-speaking, but this one. And we have, oh, I take that back. And there's another one that's a Russian-Ukrainian church called Agape, right? Keep me honest. Yeah, Agape. There's a Russian and Ukrainian speaking church as well. So not the only non-Czech speaking church. So with that, we have a pastor. We call her a superintendent pastor. And this superintendent pastor, her role is to kind of be the pastor to oversee all the churches in this country that are Methodist. And so once a year, the superintendent will come and pay a visit to our church, and then we'll have a business meeting after worship. And so that's a time where you get to learn about church finances, and we might talk about the year past and what was good and challenging, and then we'll talk about the year ahead, we'll give some reports, it might be a time we'll make some decisions and so forth. And that's coming up, so I want you to be aware of that. You're all invited to the business meeting if you want to learn more about the inner workings of ESUMC. It's an open meeting. And it will be, I think it's February 19 coming up. So just that can be on your radar. If you're not into all of that jazz, that's okay too. But I want you to be fully informed. And with that, one of the things that every year I give a pastoral report and I give two numbers. Now, it's not all about numbers, but numbers do tell one part of the story, not all part of the story. One of the number is who's coming for worship, worship attendance. That's us here. And then the other number I give are who are official members of the church. So what we just saw Rob do today, he became an official member of this church. What does that mean? That means legally, I can say to the superintendent, we have this many people who have said in an official manner, you're in, you're a member of this church. It also means that I, as your pastor, can turn to you and say, would you serve on the leadership team? In the Methodist Church, we call it a church council. Every local church has a different name for it, but it's kind of like a local leadership team, right, that comes together for making decisions about the future of the church. So if someone becomes an official member, it also means you have a greater voice and vote and influence for the local church. So I say all that to say, I see you in an organic way as part of the kingdom of God and a part of this church if you come, period. However, or and, maybe is the better word, and if you would like to consider becoming an official member of this church, I would love to have a conversation with you and do something real similar to what I just did with Rob. I would ask you to affirm or reaffirm your faith in Christ and for you to say in front of the congregation, I'm in to support this church. And it's real simple. It doesn't mean I'm sharing your personal information anywhere. It doesn't mean I have, you know, expectations through the moon. But it does help me as a pastor, and I think it helps those of us who are members of this church kind of move forward in the ministry, the administration, the business of the church. So I share all that just kind of on a personal pastoral level, so that you know more the inner workings of this church, and if you would like to become a member, I would love to welcome you and have a conversation to prepare for that. I do have people in international churches say, well, I'm a member back in this other country, and I would say, just like you can have dual citizenship, you can have dual citizenship with church membership. You know, when you're back home, wherever your birth country is, you go to this church, and when you're here with us, you're a part of us. So give that some thought and prayer, and if you'd like to talk further about that or to send me an email, feel free. So that's kind of set that aside. And now let's dig into Mark chapter 1. If you have your Bibles or your Bible app, feel free to turn with me to Mark chapter 1. I will say up front, I just can't get away from talking about Jesus of late. I just find that Jesus is so beautiful and winsome and amazing, and I couldn't dream up a better Savior if I tried. And I feel captivated by talking about Jesus these days. So today we're going to look again at another really amazing encounter that Jesus has with a leper. Now, a leper. This is a disease, leprosy. I don't know if you've ever seen someone with leprosy. It is still around, but much less of a phenomenon than it used to be in the world. But it's a disease that basically literally eats your skin away and deforms the person. It's also highly contagious. And in biblical times, in the culture in which this was taking place, if someone had leprosy, that was like the worst thing you could have. It became that you not only had a disease, you had an illness that cut the person off from society. They became, in effect, unclean, untouchable. They were cast out of their community. They had to move away from the village and go to an outcast area. People were known to throw rocks at lepers to keep them at a distance because they didn't want to get it. And in biblical Jewish culture, becoming unclean was seen as something you avoided at all costs. So if you read in the Old Testament, there's a lot about purity laws, a lot about being ritually clean. And so if someone ever touched a leper, they would become unclean too, and they would have to go through rituals and purification rites to become clean again. So what that means is that the person not only had a debilitating disease, but they were cut off completely, isolated from society, and no longer touched ever. Now, for those of us who've just been in a pandemic, which is all of us, we all have gotten a greater empathy maybe of what it feels like when you go through a period of time where nobody touches you, right? Because we were all new to this COVID thing, and nobody was shaking hands anymore or hugging, and we were all doing the social distancing. And what does that feel like? I remember talking to some of my single friends who said, nobody ever touches me anymore living through COVID, and how they missed just shaking someone's hand or getting a hug or being close to someone physically, and how isolating that is. And so I want us to just kind of empathetically go into this text, realizing that for this man who had leprosy, he was considered the bottom rung of society. Like the living dead, that's kind of how they were treated. And so here is this leper who comes onto the scene and comes towards Jesus. And the scripture says he implored Jesus. Another translation says he begged Jesus. And he gets down and kneels. So if you've ever walked across Charles Bridge, right, you'll see these people who are kneeling. Have you ever seen that around the city of Prague where they'll kneel down and they'll put a little hat or a bowl in front of them and they'll just kind of be begging, right, to say, oh, I'm not worthy, but if you could be generous to me. So this is this picture of this leper. He's begging Jesus. He's kneeling before Jesus, and here is his question and request. He says, Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. So, interesting question. The leper doesn't say, if you are able, you can make me clean. So, there's a little bit of faith here we see. The leper's not doubting, can Jesus heal me? Can Jesus work miracles? He's not asking that question. Already Jesus is becoming known as a miracle worker. Reports that Jesus has an ability to heal over disease is already spreading. So the leper isn't questioning Jesus' ability here. He's questioning Jesus' will, Jesus' desire, and says, Jesus, if you desire, if you will, you can make me clean. Here's Jesus' response. Jesus moved with pity. Now, that word, moved with pity, it in the English language, it just doesn't do it justice. In the Greek, if you read other English translations of this passage here, it'll say, Jesus moved with indignation. Or other translations read, Jesus moved with compassion. It's there. It's the same as pity. Yeah, there we go. Moved with pity. So some will say moved with pity. Some will say moved with indignation. Some will say compassion. There's not really a good English word for how Jesus was moved at this moment. I'd say compassion is probably the best, closest one. But the Greek here, the word there, it's this really pithy sounding Greek word. And it means that Jesus was so moved, his bowels, his inner bowels moved, groaned. And so I want us to see that Jesus here was physically and emotionally moved by the request. And Jesus answers the question with being moved with compassion, with his inner bowels groaning. And what does Jesus do? His first action is he stretches out his hand and touches the man. There are no accounts in the Old Testament of a holy man or woman, a prophet, touching a leper to bring healing. But in the New Testament, we see it. Here, Jesus is about to work healing, and the first thing Jesus does is reaching out and touching this leper. Can you imagine? I wonder how long it had been since the leper had even been touched. Jesus stretches out his hand with compassion, touches him, and answers the question, I will, I desire, I want to heal you. And then says simply, be clean. Commands the disease to be gone. But in this moment, this leper is not only cured of a disease, we think of it that way, don't we? Scientific. This person has that, and now it's cured. But this healing, I want us to see, it's holistic here. Because the healing not only is of the leprosy, but the healing is also in the dignity the person now receives. Can you imagine the dignity? Jesus reaches out and humanizes him. Jesus reaches out and touches him. I see you. And I want to make you well. And Jesus, in this very act, restores the man to his community. Restores the man to his society. Restores the man again to a status that's acceptable. You see the holistic healing in that? And then Jesus gives him instructions. Go and do the purification rites that are required in the law. You can read about it in the Old Testament. Go and make the sacrifice. Show yourself to the priest. Be declared clean. And you don't have to go tell people about this. But the scripture says that the man went out and was telling everyone about what had happened, right? And we see this. This is just Mark chapter 1, right? Just the first chapter, just the beginning of Jesus' ministry. But miracles, it gets people talking, doesn't it? And so Jesus' name and fame was spreading at this time. And so the leper, the cleaned, restored, excited leper went around and told many people. And this is an amazing passage, I think. It's an amazing passage to look at not only Jesus' power to heal, but also Jesus' will to heal. Isn't that a blessing? Not just that Jesus can, but that Jesus wants to. And so I want to break that down in kind of more personal ways. As your pastor, I want to say I believe that Jesus heals still today. Some people would say, oh, this was only in Bible times. Jesus doesn't do that today. I disagree. I think Jesus heals today. And I can bear witness to seeing people being healed physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, in our world, in my lifetime. I've seen people who have been as good as dead restored. I've seen people who have had manifestations of great illness healed. I've seen emotional wounds that ran deep and people going in a process of being healed. In my own personal life, I give testimony to God's healing. When I was 4, I was deathly sick. So much so that I was life flighted to a big hospital in Iowa, Iowa City Hospital. My mom rode in the flight, and the nurse said to my mom, "We've lost her. I can't find her heartbeat. I can't find her pulse anymore." We went to the hospital. I was in a coma for a long time. And the doctors have bleak news for my parents that I wouldn't live and that if I did, there'd be something wrong with me.
Okay, go ahead. Laugh.
Now you can be like, oh, now that explains it. She didn't have enough oxygen to the brain. Oh, now I see. And so I grew up hearing my church family and my neighbors say, oh, we were praying for you. And I believe God did a miracle in my life as a very small child, and part of why I'm here today. So when we talk on healing, for me, it's not just an abstract thing. It's not just a lovely passage in the scripture. To me, it's something very real. And I say that to say, I hope that can be a sense of let's increase our faith and our anticipation of what God can do and will do and wants to do. And so now I want to kind of say back to you, what about God and healing in your life? Do you believe God can heal in your life? Do you believe God wants to heal in your life? And healing can be in lots of forms, can it? In a holistic way, right? It can be leprosy, something physical, cancer, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it can also, healing can also be something that others don't necessarily see, but's just as real, that's broken. Something that's been done to us, a broken relationship, a hurtful wound, maybe from childhood or younger years, that can leave us feeling broken and in need of healing. Healing can be habits that turn into addictions that need breaking and changing, right? There's so many different forms of healing needed in our world today. And in some ways, physical is just a small part of the whole package of healing needed in our world today. And so I'd like you to consider, is there an area in your life where you need and desire healing? And I'd like to be so bold. Rob, I'll ask you to come up and play. We're going to do something a little different for prayer time. Prayer time today can be in your seat, praying and being in a posture of receiving. But it can also be this. I'm going to stand up here. And if anybody would like to come forward and receive specific prayer for healing, I would love to pray over you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ does heal today and desires to work more healing in us today. And often, as the scriptures point out, it's not about God's desire to heal. It's about our desperation and desire to move towards Jesus and ask. And so if there's any area you would like prayer over today, I'd invite you to come forward. I'll simply ask you what you'd like prayer for and pray a short prayer over you, and then you can return to your seat. So let's open this time of prayer with prayer. Go ahead. Jesus, we thank you for the reminder in your text that you not only have the power, you have the will to heal. And so right now in this room, I pray that your Holy Spirit will quicken our spirits, that we might reach out to you even as you're reaching out to us. So come now, Holy Spirit. Do what you alone can do. Talk to us about our broken places and bring healing in Jesus' name.